I want to start by just one correction from last week. The whole routine that we did about the Virgin, right? The Sula, the Alma. I said that that was Paul's concoction. It wasn't, it was Matthew. That wasn't Paul. In fact, part of the Pele is that Paul and Peter don't say anything about him being born from a virgin. Somehow went over their heads. This was Matthew's idea. And he's the one who cites the pasuk from Yeshaya. One of the more specific sources, if anybody's interested. I hope you're not going to check it home. Matthew 1, 22 and 23. Again, I'm just stressing again that I never opened a New Testament. Everything that I'm saying is just based on what I've gotten from Rabbi Avigdor Miller. Okay, but just so as not to leave Paul in a positive light, since we just let him off the hook on that one, we'll make it up to him by giving him something else. He had something that might be even better. When the Torah talks about Abraham's Zera being chosen, Paul has a great proof from that it's referring to one specific individual known to us as Yashkele. Because it doesn't say, put it in English, it's just as ridiculous in English as it is in Hebrew. It talks about Avram's seed. Avram's seed is chosen. Seed is singular. It doesn't say Avram's seeds are chosen. The Torah talks about that Zera Avram is chosen. It doesn't say that the Zra'im of Avram are chosen. Is there any need to explain the ridiculousness? It's obvious. Zera in Lashon Kodesh is plural. Paul could only pull this off banking on the fact that he was going to be dealing with people who didn't have a basic inkling of Lashon Kodesh. He was selling this to the goyim.
just to be more direct, Zera is Zera, not Zera'im.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Oh, so Paul was inferring.
And Nivchar, what's the chosen?
No, Ki B'Yitzchok Yikore Lecho Zora. Zera Avram Oyavi. That's not so clear. Just he says Zera said in the singular, and therefore it's only referring to one person. It's not referring to his whole project. Okay. Also gives us if we took that other raya away from Paul, we're giving this to Paul in order to show us his level of integrity and credibility. Okay. Now we're going to move on.
Zera means Yitzchak.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's where it ends.
No. He says Zera is actually alluding to Yashka. There was one seed of Avram that was chosen. Okay, but that's really Zera. Zera Avram. Yeah, the seed of Avram.
Why is he asked Yashka?
No, he just says, you see that the Torah is really only specifying one specific descendant.
Why him?
Well, that already we leave to them. You have to look at their commentaries, I guess. Okay. Fine. Now we're really ready to move on to our next subject. We're going to continue in the Kuzari. So we saw that the Kuzari was not impressed with the Christians, basically because you're not substantiating it in any way. Now, as we saw, Kuzari reached the conclusion that it's got to be either Christianity or Islam. So his next step was calling in a Muslim scholar. Nishal Oysael Chochmosay Umaseyu. He asked him, describe your faith and practices. Ve'amale. So he told him, Anachnu mekaymim ha'achdus v'akadmus le'lekim yisbarach. We believe in the absolute oneness of Hashem and that He always was. We believe that the world was not always, the world was created. And we believe that we all are the progeny of Adam. We are opposed to presenting Hashem in a physical way in any manner. Meaning, in other words, he is rejecting Christian dogma. Mohammed attacks the Christians for that, for attributing divinity to Yoshka. He attacks the Jews also for attributing divinity to Ezra. The Jews believe that Ezra was God according to Mohammed. We're going to see soon. That's only one example. He's a step further than the Christians. The Christians, the original Christians, were able to read the Torah, just that they didn't. They did a shoddy job. When they created their New Testament, they didn't bother checking it against the Torah to make sure that it works, and that's why the Torah itself punches so many holes in it. But Mohammed couldn't even read. So he had a very foggy idea of different things that he had heard, bits and pieces. His mother read in bedtime stories, so he knew some stories from the Bible. He had them a little mixed up. He quoted them approximately according to what he heard and remembered. And therefore there's a lot of even funnier mistakes. But that's one of the things. When the Muslims reject, rightfully, they reject any form of attributing any physical form to Hashem, and therefore they say that the Christians were wrong in attributing divinity to Yashka, and the Jews were wrong in attributing divinity to Ezra. Why Ezra? Why not? Okay. Whatever it is, let's continue along his faith. Well, Maisa, he's right. What's that? True. True. I guess everything's relative. Among the Muslims, he was a scholar. Maybe he could read. Yeah. What's that? Muhammad couldn't. This guy maybe could. They later had literate Muslims. So now, he continues describing their faith. If there is anything which implies physicality in our writings, this is the way we approach it also. Any seeming expression of physicality in any of the writings will be explained as a metaphor, as a way of making us be able to relate to it, but certainly there is no such thing. Very good. Up till now, you can say, Ahmad, you're okay. Now, Imai does say, but here's where he goes off. And of course, we believe that our Torah, the Quran, is a sefer of is a book of God. That itself is the proof of our religion, because we received this book from God. How would we have received the book from God if we weren't the right religion? What? Basically. Yeah. Well, there's a little more to it, so that it's clear to anybody who reads it that it couldn't have been written by someone who's not anyone other than God. But yeah, basically he's saying that, yeah, we have a book from God, and that proves that we got it from God, because how else would we have a book from God? Okay? Now, Vubat's my moifis, that Quran is the proof in and of itself. It's chayavnu bekibuloi bavo atzmoi. And we must accept its veracity by its own merit. Because really, no, the truth is, it's not as ridiculous as I put it. Are you saying that, no, when you familiarize yourself with the Quran, you understand that this couldn't have been written by a mortal. Okay. What? No. We'll see. The Quran is the continuation of the story, just like the Christians. Now, v'shenivienu. V'loy kiparsha achas miparshiyos. A mortal certainly couldn't have compiled this. Couldn't have even compiled one portion of it, one parsha of the Quran. V'shenivienu hu choysam anavim. Our prophet is the end of all prophets. He's the seal of the period of prophets. And he has abrogated, he has disqualified, meaning put the end to any previous Torah. Meaning, certainly we do come we're based on, we're the continuation of the story of Teres Moshe. Just afterwards, Muhammad came, he was the greatest prophet of all, and he said that the Torah has ended. It's now going to be discontinued. Now here he doesn't spell out yet, he will soon, that their faith is, at the end of the day, based on Judaism, just that they're the continuation. Now, a very fundamental part of our dogma is that we are calling on all nations to join the Muslim religion. Ugmul hashoim oy hashovas ruchoy el gufoy began Eden un imos. And the reward for listening to it is that your soul will be restored to your body in Gan Eden. And there you'll get all the food you want, all the food and drink, mishgal, and all other forms of physical base, sensual pleasure. Right? Don't they talk about 70 virgins, I think? 72. I guess there's different days. Shittas of Beni Tam. The kol asher ta'ave nafsho. Anything you could possibly want. Va'oinesh hamamre. And, of course, the punishment of the disbeliever, of the defier. Halichosa el esh le'tichbe. He'll go to an ever-eternal fire. Lo'itamu yisro av lo'olam. And his suffering will never end. There we have Islam in a nutshell. What's that? So he's basing it on that we see that. Now we'll see the Khuzari respond to that. He said, well, what happens if I don't see that? Let's see. Oh yeah, that I wasn't aware of. Okay, there you go. The Rambam referred to him regularly as Hameshuga, the maniac. He had Muhammad was Meshuga, and Quran was Kalon in the Rambam's writing. Quran is the Kalon. That's how he refers to the Quran. Kalon. Kalon means the busha, the shame. That's the Rambam's the Meshuga and the Kalon. Okay. Now Omar al Khuzari. So basically again, Islam is the Muslim is coming and saying, you want me to prove you the truth of our faith? Well, our faith is very true, because otherwise you burn in hell forever. And also because we have this book that obviously was written by God. So Omar al Khuzari. So Khuzari comes again with the same argument that he said to the Christian. If you seriously want to convey to somebody the word of Hashem, and you sincerely want him to internalize it, right, you want to set him on the right path in a real way, meaning, if the Lord really has such an interest, he's interested in people acknowledging it, meaning, in other words, what he's saying is, God can't be a klutz. He's not going to do things in a way that won't work. And you also want to substantiate that yes, Hashem does connect with humans. He does talk to humans. And the person is denying it. You have to be able to present very clear proofs that cannot be refuted. Because again, it's like we said before, it can't be that God is not appealing to the intellectual. The intellect is such a great part of the human being. It can't be that Hashem set things up in a way that intellectuals just won't buy it. And Hashem knows how to operate, right? He can figure out how to do things. He's not going to set up a plan, it's not going to work. He's not going to set up a plan. Come, tell them that if they don't, they'll burn. That way you're guaranteed to get a certain percentage of the superstitious. That's God's plan for mankind. God can't figure out how to do it in a better way. Very interesting. We keep seeing that the most difficult thing that the Khuzari was having accepting is the fact that God would talk to people. That just didn't work for him. This is something that has to be properly substantiated. Now, So you say, no, sure it's substantiable. Again, look at our Quran. Any Muslim knows that a mortal couldn't have written. What?
The Christian told him already that they believe in the
The Muslim. We'll get there, but he has a problem. He doesn't yet know if the Jewish Torah is true either. As far as he's the Jew might substantiate it better. Right. What you're saying, the Kuzri is going to note. You're on the right track. Let's see. I don't know if we're going to see this week, but yes, basically the point that you're making will be made here in the Sefer. Now, so he's saying even after proving it, people would have a hard time really absorbing, internalizing the concept that God would talk to a human. So now he says, again, God has a plan for mankind. Everybody is going to accept the Quran. That's God's plan, right? He expects that to happen. God shouldn't be stupid. How does he prove it? Because when you study this in Arabic, you can see that it wasn't written by a mortal. It's a shkoyach. What if I don't speak Arabic? Oh, God forgot about that. He didn't put out a Greek version. So, a makir moitzoy. If you read the Arabic, you can understand that this can only be God. What did he have in mind to a foreigner like me? He wants me to accept it, but I can't see the godliness. I can't see the divinity. What's that?
How can that be a criticism if a good translator never came along? The Bible presumably had been translated into starting Latin, but into Greek, Aramaic.
You're asking why couldn't the divine sign be conveyed through translators? Oh, so first of all, it's possible that there was, but that's not where the Khuzari's argument would end. Meaning, basically what the Khuzari is saying is, when I read it, I do not see a difference. You're saying, anybody who reads it can see it. You know why you feel that way? Because that's what they told you from before you were able to speak. You grew up believing that, and therefore when you see it, you see, yeah, that could only be written by a mortal. I don't see a difference. They're telling me, well, it's because you don't see it in the original. That's really, there are two steps to the argument here. If I read it to you in Khuzari language, we're losing the essence. If you would see it in the original, you would appreciate what I'm saying. So that the Khuzari says, Shkayach, but that you can't convey to me if I don't speak Arabic. So the translation wouldn't help. Because part of his argument is that I read it, sounds like any other novel. So what are you telling me? I'm losing the essence because they don't know the Arabic? So what God have in mind for the people who don't speak Arabic? So maybe he had in mind that everybody should go learn Arabic? But what basis do you have to require them to do that as long as they haven't seen that there's anything obligating there? Well, not even necessarily that. Hashem won't set things up in a way that won't work. And reasonably speaking, you are not providing enough basis for people to accept what you're saying. Most normal people won't. You'll get some superstitious chevron. Yeah, and you're not going to get people. People who never read Arabic, there's no reason to assume that they'll go learn the language. Or that they'll be able to appreciate. That's what he's saying. God is not going to set things up in a way that won't work. He's not going to set up a failing system. He's not going to set up a system that can, at best, achieve a very small amount, small percentage. Ended up achieving a bigger percentage. We'll get to that. Now, or another thing, even more than that. Like we said, you have the Christians and the Muslims standing on two sides of the fence. Both of them are saying, you must accept ours. Why? On faith. Even after you accept one, the intellectual will spend the rest of his life not knowing whether he made the right choice. And there's no way of substantiating it. It can't be that that's how God set it up. So let's see how this continues. Because, well, let's see. Well, our main answer to that will be the Torah is not directed at anybody other than a Jew. The only question is with Shiva Mitzvah Svenei Noach. That's a different story. We'll get to that. But that is our main answer. Our main answer is, you can't access the Torah, you're not meant to. It's fine. But it was translated into the Shiva Mishainas to make it available. But again, the point is not necessarily that Goyim need to know the Torah. We are not a sign-up club. We're not asking everybody to join us. It's not a part of our faith. Because Shayikare Ba'azni. Now, so you'll tell me, you can't read it? I'll read it to you. Oh, but if you read it to me, Einani mavdil beinoi uvein zulosoi milshoin aravi ad she yamin shehu ha'ois. So here it basically makes the point that we made before. It's circular. He says, so you will read it to me. And he'll tell me, hearing it already makes a difference. He says, no, I can only realize its divinity once I know that it's a sign of divinity. Basically, again, like we said before, our religion must be true because we have a book from God. And if we weren't a true religion, how do we have a book from God? So they say, 1 minute, you have to have somewhere to start. They're telling me, if I realize that this is a sign from God, I would hear it when I hear the Arabic. But as long as I don't realize it's a sign from God, I'm sorry, I don't hear it in the Arabic. So in other words, what it's coming and telling him is, yes, you pumped all your kids through school in with this idea that the Quran in and of itself proves godliness. But sorry, you can't do that on a grown-up intellectual. It just doesn't work. So Omar Lord, Hachacham. So in other words, what he's telling him is, you didn't provide any signs. You didn't provide anything. Again, in contrast to our Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu came and turned over nature in order to get his point across. So listen to this. Omar Lo Yachacham. So the Chacham says, no, it's not true. The Quran does tell stories about wonders that Muhammad did. Ukvar nilo ad yodai moitzin. Sure he did wonders. Ach lo yhusmu lo ois bekibul teirose. Listen to this. Sure he did wonders. How do you know? He told us. He told us that when he was in his tent in the desert, he did this and this. Just, he's not meant to do it publicly in order to convince them to accept the Quran. But certainly he was a man of wonders. He did them in private. So, that was what he's saying is, we're a little different than the Jews. The only difference between Muhammad and Moshe is that Moshe did it in front of a million people. Muhammad did it in private. And when he actually came to present his Torah, he didn't use wonders. He told you that he did wonders at home. Apparently. So Amar Kuzri. So Kuzri says, no, I'm sorry. That's not going to do. Again, also, and this, the Christians and the Muslims are basically the same idea. Muslims say, yeah, he did it, but he did it when no one was around. The Christians, also, yeah, this happened, that happened, they have an even better version, like we said the other day. All the witnesses were stricken with blindness. That was their claim. Yeah, Geshke came out of his grave, went wherever he went. I don't know, where do you go? Maybe he went to the bathroom, I don't know, but whatever it is. But everyone except whoever it was that's telling the story was stricken with blindness. Okay. So Amar Kuzari. So the Kuzari says again, I'm sorry. Intellect cannot accept that God connects with people. Unless they see some sort of sign where he turns over nature or something like that. God has to prove himself in some way if he wants it to work. He has to do things in a way that's clear to all the observers that this could only be done by God. Also, if you want it to work, it has to be in front of public, in front of everybody who you want to accept it. Yiru beinayim v'lo yagim b'sipur b'kabbalah. Has to be something that they see, not something that you come and tell them. Right? That's like the story. Right? There was, they say the story about a Rebbe died, left over two twin sons. A big machlokes developed, who's going to be the next Rebbe? So it was a big argument. Two sides, two camps. So they decided the elders of the Hasidus had to get together to decide, okay, which way are we going to go? So they sat down, they convened, and they got together, they're making their deliberations. All of a sudden, there's a frantic knock at the door. One of the two sons is there. He says, Rabbi Sir, I have a very, very, very important piece of information here before you make a decision. What's that? My father came to me in a dream. I have the answer. It's okay. No more deliberations required. Why? My father came to me in a dream last night and said that I'm supposed to be the Rebbe. So he told him, Shkoyach, if that's how it was meant to be, he would have come to us in a dream, not to you in a dream. So Muhammad is coming and saying, of course I'm a prophet. I've done wonders. Where? Back home. Do one now. I don't need to. I already did one. The Quran is full of that. The Quran is full of Muhammad attacking those who are demanding signs. Those signs were forthcoming. He's basically saying it himself. Imagine the nerve. They're accusing me of being an imposter. And I'm not providing signs. Also, I said, like, same disclaimer as I said about the New Testament. I never opened the Quran. I'm based on Rabbi Avigdor Miller. The Quran is full of his ranting against the people who had the nerve to demand signs. When, first of all, he did do signs, just in private. And what was his response all the time? His response was, ooh, are you going to go to hell? You're going to earn destruction in this world and in the next. The next? All right, after someone who was there. This world, he was right. He organized it himself in many cases. Now, we'll get to that soon. But I'll address that. Sorry, first of all, just finish the Kuzari's words, and then we'll address that Blina. Now, also, these have to be signs that will be properly tested. These have to be signs that have to be able to go through analysis, that will be able to convince the biggest intellectuals and the biggest skeptics that they'll be left with no more doubts. Also, it has to be possible for people to rule out the possibility of an illusion or of sorcery. And after all that, halavai, the people should be able to internalize, to really be able to accept that such a great thing, that the creator of this world and the next, and of the angels, and of the heavens and of all the great lights, will be interested in relating to such low down physicality. Meaning, man. That he would take an interest in man, that he would actually fulfill what he wants. So now, you're asking, so if so at the end of the day, how did it spread? It did spread somehow. So let's just note one thing. If you ask them how it spread, they'll tell you the same thing as we will. It spread not because there were a million people claiming to have witnessed it. They'll all say it spread because we heard about it from that one guy. How did it start? Both Christianity and Islam started the same way. It was one person who came with claims. Or, call it a million of people. In case of the Christians, there were 12 people. A few people came, said, we saw wonders, we heard God, this, that. And they got a following. They got a following. Every cult will get a following. Every quack will get some business. You see that today. Right? Now, note that both of them started within the confines of the Jewish people and were supposedly working according to the guidelines of the Jewish Torah, yet they were completely rejected by the bulk, the mass of the holders of the Torah. And they went off to Goyim, who had no idea about what the Torah says or anything like that, and they convinced them. Meaning they went to people who had no way of accessing the real information, and they convinced them. Goyim. They convinced Goyim. Who do they convince? Illiterates, superstitious people. Everyone will agree that that's how it started, right? And then that spread. It ultimately developed into a group of husky guys, which got a little more and a little more, until they were able to start spreading it by brute force. It started with influence, they had charismatic people, etc. But at the end of the day, everybody agrees that where did it start from? It didn't really start from some public revelation. Nobody argues that. Everyone agrees that the main body of the Christian religion, or the Muslim religion, are not people who experienced any of these things, but they heard about it secondhand. That's the key point here. The main body of the Christian religion are people who heard about it secondhand. Right? It doesn't begin with ancestors who actually experienced the New Testament. The New Testament involved a very, very, very tiny percentage of what he said earlier constitutes the core of the Christian nation. But the bulk of the Christian nation are Goyim, who had nothing to do with those events and accepted it over the next couple of hundred years. So it's a second-hand religion which was rejected by the people it was actually supposedly intended for and by the people in whose presence it actually transpired. There was a story with a priest decided to debate Reb Chaim Brisker. They were sitting together on a coach. And the priest said to Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Brisker said to the priest, come on, you folks didn't even know Yashka, right? The Christians didn't even know him. They didn't know him. They heard about him secondhand from people who were telling stories. We knew him. No, we knew the guy. We knew who he was. He was, you know, a loyutzlich, as they say. He was a shlamazel. Couldn't make it in the Jewish system. We knew him. What are you arguing with us? Said if the Chachamim who were there at the time, right, up until Yashka was born, everybody agrees that they were the Torah, the authorities of Torah. So what changed after Yashka was born? So the priest told him, well, you see that they were able to be wrong. So Reb Chaim Brisker said, well, how do you see that they were able to be wrong? So Rabbi Akiva believed that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. So you see that they could be wrong on that. So Reb Chaim Brisker said to him, who said he was wrong? So the priest said, what do you mean, who said he was wrong? We see that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. So Reb Chaim looked at him with a smile and said, how do you know? I say he was right. So the priest said, what do you mean? He's dead. Reb Chaim said, you settled my case. Okay. So that's really the key point. It's a second-hand religion. The bulk of the nation, it's not people who are claiming that their ancestors experienced it. Now, Omar Achoch. So now, the Muslim comes back, and he says, no, that doesn't settle the issue, not at all. You're saying that they weren't public spectacles that were based on? Sure there were. I didn't tell you the whole story. There's more to our religion. We're a continuation. I told you the last couple of chapters. Look at the earlier chapters. Our Quran is full of all the incidents of Moshe and the Jewish people. You can't refute, according to what you just said now, we do provide things that were witnessed by masses and that constituted the basis for giving the Torah. That's what happened at Paroi. V'shaboka es hayam, split the sea. V'hitzil es bechirov, he saved his chosen people. V'tova es asher kotzaf aleim, and he drowned all the mighty Egyptian army who angered him. Right here are massive public events that we're based on. V'harid lehem hamon v'aslov, he gave them the man and the quail. Asher echilam achreichen abayim shana b'midbar, he gave them for 40 years in the desert. These were things that were witnessed by millions. V'shadibre Moshe b'Sinai, he spoke to Moshe and Sinai in the presence of millions. V'amid Hashem eshle Yeshua, and he stopped the orbit of the sun for Yeshua, witnessed by millions. V'oza oisa l'agiborim b'nei anok, and he helped him overcome the great mighty nations. These were things that no one could introduce, no one could invent these things. You can't come and make up stories, historic events that happened a short time earlier. What's that? We conquered it, but they are our spiritual heirs, according to them. We lost all of our rights. As soon as we rejected Muhammad, we lost all of our rights. No. Hashem chose Avraham Avinu, who wasn't a Jew at the time. Muhammad became so great that he was ultimately chosen, and the Jews were meant to follow him. But they made the mistake of rejecting him. I guess it is a qualification to be a Navi that you know how to read. There's other things also. But whatever it is, that's basically what they're saying. Muhammad was sent by God. People were meant to acknowledge that. Guy, not guy, whatever. No, but actually they do claim, we'll see. He doesn't get into that here so much. But they do claim that really it was the seed of Yishmael that was chosen. That's based on the Torah. Right? Torah says so. Torah doesn't say anything about Yitzchak being chosen. Oh, it does. The Jews distorted that afterwards. Muhammad says that. Really, Yishmael was the chosen seed. And the Jews rearranged the Torah in order to counter the Muslim claims. That's what Muhammad says. What's the problem with that? It turns out that not only was he illiterate, he didn't know math either. The Torah was translated 800 years before Muhammad was born. It was already in the hands of the non-Jews. But, that's what he says. And, again, you have to take it on faith, otherwise you're burned in hell. So, but yeah, the Jews rearranged the Torah after it was already circulating among the Goyim for hundreds of years in order to make that work. In general, his quotes of the Torah mamish reveal illiteracy. He has Haman operating in the time of Parod in the Quran. That's one thing. What? Ein muktamucha b'Torah, that's right. He has Shaul when he goes out to battle testing the soldiers by having them drink from the creek to see if they'll get down on their knees, how they'll do it. That was Gidon. You have to open up a shoftim. Wrong sefer. Close. It's the next sefer on the shelf. And like we said also, he has the Jews attributing divinity to Ezra.
What are they based on?
What's that?
What is that claim
based on? Not so clear. Meaning, nothing. Muhammad says that really Shabbos is Friday. The Jews were given Saturday, and also they were punished. They have to keep it in the most severe form. All these strictures, no turning on lights, and all that, because they defied the true prophet. That's why they have to keep Shabbos in this form on Saturday. But the real day is Friday. Problem. Okay? Now this is actually in the Quran. If you want to look it up, Quran 16, the B El Beidawi Jalaluddin. I don't know. I never saw this inside. This is from Rabbi Avigdor Miller. Now, okay. Also, a bit of a problem. Which what's that? Yes, he did. He studied. He made a thorough study of both the Quran and the New Testament based on the directive of his rabbi. He was thoroughly versed in both. What's that? I'd imagine that's what he did. Now, okay, this also conflicts a little bit with the fact that the Torah says why the seventh day is the chosen day, right? Kishesh Yomim. It says already back in Parashas Bereishis. But if you can't read Bereishis, it's okay. Before any Averis were done. Oisi La'olam, it says. This is an eternal sign between me and the Jewish people. But okay, again, if you can't read it, you can't read it. Fine. Now, we also see that Hashem is interested in people and their actions because of the action that he took against in the time of the Mabul, in the time of Sodom and Amora. These are things that cannot be contested. Soon we'll see why. When we get to the Jewish part of it, we'll see why these things are to be accepted as real substantiation of our faith. Why can't we say that maybe these things were made up too? we'll wait with that. We're going to stay focused on the Muslim guy right now. Soon we'll get to our, we'll get our turn. Ve'en bekolzet tzad svara shibetachbula v'lei b'dimyon. All of these events, like the whole entire world being flooded, like an entire city being turned over, the splitting of the sea, etc., etc., things that were experienced and witnessed by millions cannot be attributed to an optical illusion, a story, hearsay, and therefore our religion is well based. Omar Kuzari. So here the Kuzari finally realizes he's not impressed with the Muslim, but both the Christian and the Muslim begin, their solid base is Teiras Moshe, and then each one goes off on his own tangent. So finally the Kuzari reaches the conclusion, basically what you said before. Maybe up till now he was under the impression that these are three completely different religions with completely different origins. Now he sees it all starts here. It's like they once asked the Panovich Rav. No, the Panovich Rav said, you know why I consider the greatest man alive? The one who everybody agrees is number two. Meaning what? He said, well, you ask a Belzer Chosin, who's the greatest man? A Belzer Rebbe. Who's number two? Rabbi Friedman. Ask a Ger Rebbe. Who's the greatest man alive? Ger Rebbe. Number two is Rabbi Friedman. Ask everybody. It's their leader. Number two is Rabbi Friedman. For me, Rabbi Friedman is the greatest man alive. So basically, that's what the Kuzari is saying. Everybody is saying, well, it started with the Jews, but we kind of turned into it, and they did a sloppy job. Christians came and said that. Muslims came and said that. And then you have the Jews who are simply continuing what it always was. He says, okay, everybody agrees that they're at least second to best. In figuratively. So, let's check them out.
Well, I wouldn't be nervous if then, like, immediately he's going to start to burn.
Then immediately?
He's going to start to burn.
With these two?
After finishing speaking with this...
With the Christian and the Muslim.
This Muslim wise man, he told him, if you don't accept it, you're going to burn.
The Kuzari was completely unimpressed.
Right then.
That's right, he was completely unimpressed. He completely negated both of these religions because of the fact that they do not provide basis for intellectuals. Which means even more than that. Which means that Hashem, so to speak, that these gods that they believe in set up a failing system in the first place. That's really the killer point here. How could it be that he would set up a system that won't work?
Judaism is not a religion that we accept on faith.
No. Well, yes and no. But let's wait. Again, like I said, we're dealing with the Christians and the Muslims. Let's let him get to the Jews. And then we'll see. We don't know about the Jews yet.
What? Kuzari had a faith?
The Kuzaris had a faith, and he had that vision in which he was told, this is not the way to go. So I'm a Kuzari. So now the Kuzari says, Ani roye shetzorich ani lishol Yehudim. Okay, I see that I have to resort to asking the Jews. Mipnei sheim she'eriz b'nei Yisrael. Everybody says, well, the story started with the Jewish people who received the direct word from God, the entire nation, all of them. And then... So everybody agrees that that's where it started. And there is that bunch who are actually just continuing that story. I see that they are actually the basis of any of the major religions. Anybody who wants to come and claim that yes, Hashem did present a Torah, a doctrine in this world, begins with their story. That's where the whole basis for any such claim starts. So his next step was, yes, he summoned a Jewish scholar and began asking him about his faith. And this is really where our Sefer begins. Now we're going to begin exploring the Jewish faith. This is what we've seen up till now, and this is his discussion with the Jewish sage. So let's start. And we'll see the questions that were raised one by one. Omar lo yachov. So here is the Jewish scholar presenting his faith. Anachnu ma'aminim b'elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. We believe, he's starting from scratch. What is our faith from scratch? We believe in the God of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's how he's introducing it to somebody who has no background at all. Hamoitzias b'nei Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim, who brought the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, v'oisos uve-moitzim uve-masos, with very great wonders. Now let's note, we'll see soon, the Kuzari will pick up on this. But let's note that he says nothing about creating the world, at least not yet. Doesn't say we believe in the God who created everything. Skips all that. We believe in the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov who took us out of Mitzrayim. Hamechal kolim b'midbar, and who supported us in the desert. Manchila meseretz Kenan, who gave them the land of Kenan. Acha shehevira mesayam v'ayadim b'moifsim d'ed. After he led them through the sea and the Yadin with great wonders. V'sholach Moshe b'teirosa. And he sent Moshe with his Torah. V'achalkach kama alfei nevi'im acharov. Afterwards, thousands of nevi'im continued Moshe's job. Mazhirim al teirosa. Who were all basically just continuing Moshe's admonitions and continuing Moshe's Torah. Miyadim b'gmul atoiv l'shoimra. They promise good reward to those who keep it. And punishment to those who don't. And you want to know what we believe? We believe in everything that's in the Torah. Go see there. It's a long subject. It's a long text. That is the Jewish sage's presentation of the Jewish faith. Omar Kuzari. Kuzari is immediately unimpressed. I say I was right in the first place. I had initially decided not to even ask a Jew. Because I see their lowly state. I see that they're downtrodden. I see that they're at the bottom of the pyramid. I see that all the suffering they've been through have left them completely stripped of any qualities. You just gave me, you just did yourself in. You're coming to present your God. You should have said, you believe in the creator of the world, the one who runs the world, the one who controls the world. Why didn't you say you believe in the one who created you? The one who provided you with all your needs. Aren't those more direct descriptions of God? Or other such things. Those are the most basic things that any religious person says. That's where it starts. You're telling me this is the one, the God who did certain events for us. Created the world. Created you. What's with all that? Any religious person says, I believe in the Creator in the world, and basically the agenda of my religion is, in whatever way it manifests, to cleave to that God, to follow in His ways, to follow in His chesed, in the way He supports the entire world. You seem to be skipping the most fundamental aspects. Omar HaChover. So here we'll just introduce the Kuzar, the Chover. And here we're really starting to get into the meat and potatoes of this sefer.
It was a Yaki also, the person that he called.
Why?
You call him a Chaver.
In the Gemara, you have to remember that Chaver is any upstanding person. Now, Zesha to Oimer he hadasa akashis. Here, he's already presenting his first fundamental point in which he is mamish conflicting head on with the opinion of many other earlier authorities. He's mamish taking on the Rambam, Chovis Halvavis, other great authorities. He says, all that about creating the world, that's all theoretical. Now, again, he's not saying that we don't believe in that God. What he's saying is, you want me to base my faith on the fact that God created the world? Maybe there are even. How would you ever reach the conclusion of who created the world? Who saw it? Was anybody there? Just what? It comes through study, through conjecture, intellectual conjecture, right? Philosophy. But it's not based on experience. No one saw it. No one was there. V'nichnasim bo sfeikas rabos. If you're going to base your faith on that, you're going to come up with all different kinds of versions based on all different possibilities. In Tisha philosophim aleo in chamoitzes maskim al maisecho velo al deachas. He says many philosophers reach the conclusion that yes, God created the world, because they see it in the universe. So you ask them, so what's it all about? You have 15 different versions. Because again, nobody was there. What's it based on? It's based on human inference. Nobody actually met God. Nobody saw him do it. Nobody had a discussion with him. It's all based on them figuring it out. Human mind could be very great, but different human minds work differently, different minds think differently, different minds reach different conclusions. And at the end of the day, if it's based on human reason, which any faith that's based on the creation is going to be, it's going to have to be human reason, which might be very great, it can never be absolute. There might always be someone else who thought of something you didn't. You can never reach the absolute truth based on human thought and study. You can get an awful lot of depth, but you'll never get all the way there. So that's what he's starting by saying. And this, he's already conflicting with many of the authorities who did put a big emphasis on proving the existence of God philosophically, etc., etc. There are very, very chashuvim kadmonim who held that way, like we said, the Rambam, the Chovos HaLevavos, and others. Khazari is basically, wait. The Khazari is basically doing away with all that. Off the cuff, he's dismissing that all and saying, human intellect is limited, forget about all that. What, yes? We'll see Be'ezus Hashem.